Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carvajal. Weekly, we are brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Check out AllAccessMMA.com for our video podcast, MMA stories, and MMA news. Ed, huge week ahead, weekend ahead of us, and the news keeps coming in.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how we're going to keep up with everything, so we have so much to talk about and so much to look ahead to, so we'll just jump right into it. So we're gonna take a look at the Bellator Rising 2 event, UFC 291, and obviously we have the big boxing with Spence Crawford all happening this weekend, July 29th, Saturday night. I have no idea what's gonna happen or how anyone's gonna manage it. I was talking with my folks I trained with at my jiu-jitsu school. I mean, you know, most of them are obviously focused on the UFC, but like, you know, they are aware of these other events. I don't know how anyone, I mean, if you like, we watch it, we have to kind of watch it. So I'm definitely going to have a couple of screens going that night. But we were going to start with the UFC picks because obviously everybody's fucking up the UFC's ass these days. However, last night, midnight, when the Bellator Rising had their press conference, they did announce a change to the card this week. It sucks because it was a tournament fight, but AJ McKee is out of his fight with Patricky Pitbull. They were supposed to fight, and unfortunately, McKee is had to withdraw due to medical reasons. I know I tweeted injury, but they actually said in the press release officially it's medical reasons. I think Coker used the word injury, or it might have been Sakakibara. Again, it's midnight. I'm on my time that I was trying to watch it. As soon as I saw that announcement, I was kind of like zoning out and depressed. And but they did. The alternate fight, I think, is fair enough. The person stepping in is now the last guy that McKee fought was Roberto de Souza. So I guess I feel like that's a good fight, especially the fact that it's, you know, the Bellator Rising. Rising Supercard event that they're doing over there. I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, I trust you were, at least you're 3 hours behind me, so I don't know when the news hit you, what your reaction was.
Yeah, I mean, obviously disappointed that AJ McKee's out, but a good replacement, as good of a replacement as you could expect, I think, to get. A lot of people thought D'Souza should have been in the tournament. I think we talked about that after his fairly competitive fight with McKee in his last bout. But yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. You lose out on one of the pound for pound best fighters on the planet. But you do get a solid replacement and a fight that I think McKee was probably favored pretty heavily over Patricky, and I think now this becomes more of a coin flip kind of fight.
Yeah. And not to disparage Patricky, but I mean, of the Pitbull brothers, I feel like Patricio is the more like threatening one, and I know they've already had their fights, so that's kind of, I agree with you as favoring McKee before this happened. Now it's a little bit different to me because I don't know, it's weird because it is on in the Rising ring, even though it's under Bellator rules. And I know Satoshi Roberto de Souza, I mean, he's kind of like wanting to get he wants to break into the US market. And I know he knows with the relationship between Coker and Sakakibara, Bellator is the way to do that. So I feel like that had a lot of influence on them picking him too, because, you know, with all the hype when they did the New Year's Eve event, he was talking about trying to do, wanting to do a Grand Prix for the Bellator title. And so I like what they're doing. Cross promotion is always a plus for me. And the card as a whole, is a Bellator side and a Rising side. And depending on the matches, the rule sets are different. It's different. It's entertaining, and it's got some notable fighters on there that I'm looking forward to watching these fights. So, I mean, I guess it's safe to say we're both. I don't know. I mean, between D'Souza and Pitbull, you think? I feel like D'Souza has a more of a chance to win here, but I also feel like Pitbull has a chance too. Like,
well, I think. Yeah, I mean, you remember D'Souza got McKee down, so obviously he's a mega threat on the ground. That's his bread and butter. I I kind of lean towards Pitbull a little bit because I feel like I don't see, you know, until we start seeing them get submitted, like, I don't think that that's a real, you know, might not be a huge threat. Obviously, he's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. Not quite on Satoshi's level, but, you know, Pitbull Brothers, you know, fighting in Jiu-Jitsu is pretty well renowned. I kind of go with Pitbull. I think he carries, obviously, a bigger punch. I think he might be able to kind of sprawl and brawl his way and survive enough to win a fight where D'Souza's taking, you know, a late minute moment fight, might not have the gas tank to be able to go. I mean, it is a 5-round fight.
Well, look at that. The fans are all picking D'Souza to win, though. 73% on the Bellator website.
Yeah. I kind of understand it if you think he's going to be taken down and submitted, but I think Pitbull's going to hang in the fight and make it a really good fight, and I think he pulls out a close decision in my world.
Also on the card, sorry for all the throat clearing, folks, but crazy weather here in Jersey. Kyoji Horiguchi versus Makoto Shinru. Easy to pick Horiguchi in this fight. I mean, he's been dominant in both Rising and Bellator. At one point he was the champion and held the title in both organizations just before COVID, before he messed up his knee. So I mean, no surprise that 90% of the fans are picking him. I'm with that 90% to win this fight.
Yeah, Shinryu's on a 10-fight win streak, but you gotta go with Horiguchi, the competition he's fought. Some of his losses have been to bigger guys. So I think this is obviously kind of tailor-made fight for him. They want to create that flyweight division, get Horiguchi to kind of be the one to carry it. And, you know, still is one of the top pound-for-pound fighters on the planet. So I will go with Horiguchi to win this fight as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, easy to pick him. And then Danny Sabatello. Yeah, Danny Sabatello versus Magomedov. I don't know, man. I mean, like, this fight... They're both, you know, bantamweights that were in the tournament and both kind of like threatening and just really good. It's like two bulls clashing heads here at 135. I'm kind of with the fans. 56% are picking Magomedov. We have our own thing with Magomeds on the podcast here, and that's kind of why I feel like he might have an edge over Sabatello. I know Sabatello's no slouch, and his cardio is good. I just feel like when it comes to the dimensions, and, you know, I'm sure he'll tell me to go F myself, but I feel like Magomedov has more dimensions as far as being a well-rounded fighter over Sabatello and how they match up.
Yeah, I mean, I've said I'll never pick against a double Magomed. it backfired me when he fought Stotts. And I think I'm going to do it again and pick against him, though. I think Sabatello pulls this fight out. I think he's able to use his wrestling, neutralize it. I think this is probably a fight that doesn't leave you wanting to watch a rematch of it. I think it could potentially be a slow, grind it out, you know. So I kind of see Sabatello maybe pushing the issue. Megamed's lost two of his last three, although to world-class elite fighters. And I'm going to go with Sabatello to grind his way to a
interesting
decision win.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's going to be definitely an interesting fight to watch. I feel like it's, I mean, if you're looking at the percentages that they have on Bellator.com, the 44% for Sabatello versus the 56% for Magomedov. I mean, it's that they're really not that far apart. Like, it's almost 50-50 when you think about it. But yeah, so I guess we'll have to see. Now this women's flyweight bout, I feel like, is going under the radar because I feel like too many people sleep on Vida Ortega and her. She's I want to say she's almost like the women's flyweight version of Justin Gaethje in Bellator. The way she fights, because she just doesn't give a shit. She just comes forward and it's almost like that Bart Simpson meme with the hands spinning. I feel like that's, I mean, not that that's a good way to fight, but it's an entertaining, if you're a fight fan and you want to see an entertaining fight. I've never seen Vida Ortega in a boring fight. Kana Watanabe is a huge favorite against her based on the Bellator fan base. 93% are picking her. I understand it, but and the record, you can see the record here is Ortega 7-5 and 11-2 for Watanabe, but I feel like, you know, she's just dangerous to against anybody she fights. So I want Vita to win. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, Watanabe's lost two of her last three. Ortega's an up and down fighter, you know, even based off her record. However, like you said, it's always exciting, and she brings the fight. So this is not going to be one where anybody's going to be able to coast, I don't think, to a win. Both of them have had their ups and downs. Even Watanabe, well, Watanabe's 11-2, but like I said, she's two out of the last three. I'll stick with you. I'll go with Ortega pulling an upset here, and again, kind of making it ugly, and you know, managing to keep it on the feet, and you know, maybe wins by a cut or something. But you know what I mean. Is able to turn it into kind of a dirty dog fight and grind something out. So let's go with it. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And this next, the welterweight bout, I can tell you this, somebody's getting knocked out. Andre Korshkov versus Lorenz Larkin. Both guys, heavy hitters, both guys, lot of experience. I would assume Korshkov has the reach advantage, but I mean, 58% of the Bellator fans are picking Korshkov. I mean, I think if you're a Bellator, like if you're a Bellator stan like I am, I feel like it's hard not to pick Korshkov, especially, you know, lineage matters to me. You know, like when I look at what's his name that had the UFC knockout, fastest knockout record, Dwayne Ludwig. I was a big fan of Dwayne Ludwig because he was, you know, protege of Boss Rutten. Andre Korshkov is a protege of, what's his name? The Russian spinning backfist.
Shlemenko.
Yeah, Storm Shlemenko. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's hard for me not to like all that history behind a fighter. So I'm with the fans. I'm picking Korshkov to win. And I feel like he can get a TKO.
Yeah, I mean, this is a rematch from a fight from several years ago that happened out here in my neck of the woods. I'm looking for the date, but and Larkin pulled off a close split decision win. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a fight. Again, thought there'd be fireworks. There was a lot of kind of feeling out. I think maybe we get a situation in this fight, like you mentioned, a knockout where we don't, where maybe the feeling out happened in that first fight, and these guys kind of go in there and let loose a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe Larkin carries the more explosive way to finish the fight. Mm-hmm. I think he brings with him, you know, some spinning stuff, some elbows that maybe Korshkov doesn't have, but Korshkov is just a solid all around, you know, former champion. So I'm a huge Korshkov fan. There's a part of me though that wants Larkin to win just because I'd like to see him in a title fight.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's kind of been a good soldier for Bellator, fighting in Japan cards and really kind of being underappreciated by the general public when it comes to acknowledgement of where he kind of stands. But with all that said, I'm going to kind of agree with you. And I think Korshkov gets revenge. And heck, I'll stick with the TKO theory there. Mm-hmm. I do think it's going to be a good back and forth battle though. And I don't think anybody loses in this. I think the fans can win in this fight.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential for, you know, fight of the year category kind of fight, despite what we saw in their first fight,
which
didn't have that, but was again, you know, at a time when both fighters were kind of at a crossroads and were kind of there again, where Korshkov's last fight wasn't even in Bellator. So wonder where he's kind of at. I feel like if Korshkov doesn't win this fight, I feel like he kind of goes on a downslide and obviously Larkin launches into what most likely will be the title fight.
Yeah.
Probably either one of these guys probably slip into a title fight with a good enough performance.
Yeah. And thanks for bringing up that. I mean, I should have mentioned that when I was talking about the fight, about the fact that they fought before, but that's kind of why I said the TK, because I feel like, you know, when you look at fighters that have fought each other and they go down a split decision like that, I just feel like there is something that kind of like, okay, I know what this feels like. I know what this fight feels like. So the fact that they'll both come in more relaxed, I feel like, is what will produce a finish from on both sides. Again, I just lean Korshkov because, like we just said, we're just, you know, we been watching the guy for a while. There are no prelims for this because this is a split card with Ryzen. It's the super event or whatever they call it. I'm gonna bring up the Tapology card because there are some fights on there that you definitely wanna at least have on your radar. We don't necessarily have to do picks, but because we mentioned Patricio, they announced that last night. Patricio Pitbull and Chihiro Suzuki are also added to the card. It's kind of cool that that two brothers get to compete on the same card. I'm pretty sure they're going to be cornering each other. Hopefully, if they both pull off a win. Give me one second. I'll bring up the card so we have it for reference. Super Ryzen 2 listed on Tapology. There's two cards that Bellator, when this whole thing was announced, there was two fights that Bellator had mentioned when this first thing first came out. Taufik Musiev versus Akira Okada, and obviously Juan Archuleta versus Hiromosa Ogukubo, who apparently Juan Archuleta turned Japanese when he went to Ryzen, and it looks like he's going to be fighting there. This is his second fight there, like consecutively. So he couldn't stop talking about how he fell in love with the culture and everything. And I feel like Bellator is obviously supporting that. And I'm happy to. That's a fight that you definitely want to keep an eye on. I don't know if there's fights that you want to mention, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, there's the two title fights. You got Asakura and Karmov for the vacant featherweight championship, and then you know, Archuleta, who earlier in this year said he's going to do the whole year in Japan, try to get in 3-4 fights, get the title there. Well, this is his opportunity, as this is another vacant title. So it's nice to see Ryzen kind of getting some titles created, getting some worthy fighters to compete for those. I mean, I do think Archuleta wins this fight and fulfills that and really starts a new kind of era of his career in a sense. You know, he kind of topped out in Bellator, ran into some of the big, you know, monsters at the top of the division that he couldn't quite get over. But over here, I think he dresses up even when he fought out here. You know, he has the costumes and stuff. So it really fits into what seems to be his persona and stuff. So seems like a great fit for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the Pitbull fight, Musayev, you know, you got Ryzen rules. So any of these fights can turn into something you'll never wanna, want to miss. I think you combine this as a basically the Bellator fights are essentially the prelims out in Japan. They're firing it up early, so for the first time we get live Bellator in Japan. We should also mention that before, so most of the fans that were thinking that this would be kicking off, you know, 3 a.m. your time, they get the rare. It'll be at 11 o'clock, so it's still not an early start on the East Coast. You know, if you're able to stay up till 1:30 a.m., you'll be able to catch it all. And then, you know, even if you can't make it all nighter for Ryzen, you got the part that really affects the U.S. side of MMA and the Bellator promotion. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's just a great night. You know, we this is just the start. This is what we're starting with here. You know, and there's a legit like 5-6 fights. Seven fights combined between the cards that are almost can't miss.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, it's going to be tough to watch, like you said, with the start time. And if you're trying to watch, I mean, this UFC 291 pay-per-view that's also happening, you know, their main card usually starts 10 o'clock, so it's definitely going to be a multi-screen night for anybody that has to watch these fights. I'm going to bring up the fight card right now so that we can make our picks. It's just the main card, obviously, because we have more to go over, but it's give me one second. You know, it's funny, really quick about Archuleta while I'm loading the screen here. You know, I just hit me as we're talking about it. He's checking, like, if you're a professional fighter, Archuleta is getting a lot of like bucket list check marks. Like he's fought in your neck of the woods in big arenas, fought in the Garden. Now he's fighting in Japan twice, like and really big events. I mean, I'm just happy for the guy. I mean, if you're a fighter, that's what makes you want to fight more.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely taking in the whole experience of what being a fighter allows to, you know, if you take it in, you get a chance to travel the world and you're not, while being a top world fighter and getting paid good money to fight for a championship, he's living the good life right now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But talking about experiences, I mean, we get to experience extreme violence again with the main event of UFC 291. We'll make our pick for that in a minute, but let's look at the whole main card. You want to know what's funny? I have to make a confession. I mean, this main card this pay-per-view is actually really good. I like this card a lot. I feel like this is the one that should have been International Fight Week, but we've already spoken about that enough. Prelims are going to be on the ESPN and ABC. Loaded card. I'm just looking, scrolling through it really quick. I mean, if Miranda Maverick's opening up a flyweight battle against Priscilla Cachoeira, that's the first fight of the night. That's a really good fight. So, but let's jump into the main card. We'll start from the bottom. Michael Chiesa versus Kevin Holland. So before we do this, so we were talking about it last night after training, and guys are asking me about other fights on the card. And I'm not going to lie. I didn't start looking at this card until we were getting ready to record, because I was like, I said, dude, you don't understand. When Justin Gaethje fights, I don't give a fuck about any other fight on the card just because of the way that I am. I was like, it's Justin Gaethje and Dustin.
It's like you're cornering him or something.
Yeah. I'm literally like, I'm so zeroed in when he fights it. I'm like, they're telling me, wait a minute, you don't care about X, Y, and Z fight? And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't even know who else is on the card. So, well, now we have it up, so we all know who's on the card. So, Michael Chiesa versus Kevin Holland.
Good fight, two wild men.
Yeah.
A lot can happen. Holland brings a wild standing style. Yes, more of like a, submission, but also, they've both been in some dogfights. I'm going to go with Holland just being the younger guy. I think he still has a nice upside to him if he kind of settles down and kind of figures out how he wants to play this MMA game. Obviously, he's made good money taking a lot of fights over the last couple of years. Kind of put him in a position where he's kind of the fallback guy for, when fights fall through and stuff. But, this is one he got a full count for. And I think we might see the best of Kevin Holland this weekend. I think we're due for another one of those breakout fights where we kind of get excited again for him and, realize that he's not fighting Chimaev off of, 12-hour notice and all that kind of stuff where we're obviously you get paid, but, you have kind of a highlight reel against you when you get finished as quick as that fight went down, stuff like that.
Yeah, he definitely puts it out there. I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, like, outside of the trash talk and stuff like that, I think if you're someone that doesn't like the trash talk, you have to like just his the grit that the kid has. He still wants to evolve as a martial artist. He's actually he's got a lot of the characters and stuff and the tattoos. He's talked about his traditional martial arts roots a lot, so I like him. Let me just check the odds, because they have their DraftKings odds up on there. He's the favorite at -145. With Chiesa as an underdog at +125. Chiesa, he's one of the more, I feel like his ground game is probably his advantage, but Holland is just such a, he's like a magician in there. So in a lot of fights, he just pulls a lot of things out of nowhere that throw a lot of people off guard. So I can't disagree with you, man. I could see Kevin Holland pulling off a W there. Now this fight, I like it a lot. I would like Tony Ferguson to pick up a W, just because it's him. Obviously, big fan of his his fighting style for a long time. I like the way he trains and stuff like that. He could use the win. I'd like him to win. I know he's had the stuff that's been in the news or whatever. So hopefully that's not too distracting for him. That he's plus 285 underdog against Bobby Green. So I feel like if there's a fight for him to win, this is, I don't mind this matchup. I think this is a good way for him to get back on the winning side of things if he can do this, because things haven't been right for him since he fought Justin Gaethje. So I'm rooting for Tony Ferguson. I'll say that.
Yeah, he's lost five fights in a row. I think that it's beyond a need a win. I think this is a must win fight for his whole career. I think a loss here, he's will be finished with the UFC most likely, despite his losses being to top guys. And I just see Bobby Green figuring out a way to win this fight. I think Ferguson's, you know, you mentioned the Gaethje fight, and we talked about it even in the lead up to that fight, that at a time when you had two, you know, giant forces that went in there and fought each other. And, you know, and we've mentioned that you're not always the same when you go into fights with guys like Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier, and even Ferguson for that matter. I mean, it took a lot out of Gaethje even in a winning effort in that fight. So I do think Green wins. I think the odds are a little bit high for him. I wouldn't have it that high just based off of who Ferguson has lost to.
Yeah.
I think that bloats the odds a little bit, but I think Green wins. I think we've seen the best, and we're kind of seeing the end of Tony Ferguson's career and hell of a run he had. If he can win pick up a win here, almost like to see it be his last fight, win or lose, to be honest with you. I just don't think he is going to be able to climb that mountain ever again. I mean, he won a million fights in a row and never had a chance at a undisputed title. So I just don't see it with the way that stacked division is. I mean, he's years, and even with a win here, he's 3 or 4 years away probably from a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice though if he could turn it around. But let's move forward. Stephen Thompson versus Michel Pereira. I mean, this is this is like something out of a video game. What we're gonna expect, you know, you got the traditional karateka in Wonder Boy versus this guy with his fucking backflips and shit that he does. So it's like Blanca versus Ryu in the Street Fighter. So, but the Wonder Boy is the favorite because, and I agree with that. I'm picking Wonder Boy because I feel like he's just more precise. I do follow his like vlog and stuff, and he posts a lot of training stuff, a lot of good tips. He's one of the few people that still do like body conditioning as far as like conditioning bones and stuff like that, and. He's just got a lot of old school stuff that he brings to the new school way of doing things and fighting. It's hard. I'm picking Wonder Boy to win.
I think it's going to be a great fight. I think Wonder Boy is more technical and can win the fight. He's coming off of a tremendous performance, one of his best ever against Kevin Holland. He will be the smaller fighter, but Bahia is going to look, I think, fairly big in the cage next to him. I don't know what the weights they have here are. They're kind of all over the place, but I feel like Bahia is going to make him look a little bit smaller. Maybe that won't be the case, but I definitely think that's what's going to happen based off of the way they've looked in the cage priors. With that said, I will stick with Wonder Boy. I think if he sticks to a game plan, I think he's hard to get in on offensively to get in on him, obviously, with his karate style. I don't think he'll be thrown off by the theatrics of Paheya. I think, coming from a karate background, he's seen a lot of the dancing around and stuff that we haven't. We necessarily, the average fan's not usually used to in MMA because historically that kind of style doesn't work great. But with two stand-up strikers, I think we'll likely see some movement, let's just say, on the feet. I think Wonderboy picks up the win, and with MVP sitting out there as a free agent, I hope Wonderboy wins because it sets up that dream fight as a potential closer and closer to happening if that's the way it happens.
Yeah, man, it's definitely going to be fun. I mean, again, this card is something else. I'm glad I finally looked at it as a whole before we started recording because I'm it's made me more excited to watch it. I really don't know how I'm going to watch all this stuff on Saturday. I'll figure it out though. I have, you know, I do have a couple. I have a laptop, a couple TVs, and my phone. So I'll figure it out. But this fight was the one that one of my friends asked me about. Jan Blachowicz versus Alex Pajeda. And he was like, you aren't excited about Blachowicz Pajeda? And I was just kind of like, not really.
I love the fight. This one, now obviously the main event's a headliner, but this fight has, this was the fight kind of that I, one of the fights I was interested in seeing over like the last year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
Once Pajeda started making his move and beat Adesanya, I thought this was a natural fight kind of at a higher weight class.
Yeah.
And I even thought Blachowicz might even try to force himself down to 185 because stylistically he matches up well with kickboxers. He showed that when he fought Adesanya.
Yeah.
He's big enough big enough to kind of be durable on the feet while having a good enough grappling game and being big enough and strong enough to take down these guys. Pajeda is obviously going to be bigger than Adesanya ever was. Mm-hmm. In their fight. So I don't know if the takedowns will be as easy, but I do think that he's also probably easier to take down than Adesanya, just skill-wise.
Yeah.
I'm going with Jan to win this fight. I think he's kind of underappreciated. I know his title reign only lasted a short time, but I think he has a lot of the tools. If he fights well, obviously we have a long history of guys kind of falling into the trap of standing with guys that are massively better strikers than them. I'm kind of looking at Sean Strickland a little bit when I say that. we'll see what happens here, but I'm gonna go with Jan. I think he takes him down and I think he actually finishes him, and I think it could be quicker than, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a first round like head and arm choke finish.
I could
really see something like that happening early on, and it kind of bringing down Pajeda a little bit as far as the hype.
That's kind of why, though, that like my response to my buddy was that I wasn't really kind of like, I'm not as excited for it as I should be. After, again, looking at the entire card, I'm like, the pacing, I feel like everything's going to be great. But I do agree with you. I don't know what's up with these odds. -120 for Blachowicz and -110 for, again, that's the DraftKings odds on UFC.com. I don't think I agree with those at all. I think Pajeda's an underdog here. This is also his first light 205 fight, right? Moving up from 185. So since the Adesanya stuff. So, you know, that there's always the question mark when folks change, you know, weight. I know going up doesn't matter as much as going down, but again, like if we're using Adesanya as the measuring stick, you know, you already mentioned all that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with Jana. I pick Jan. And then we come to the main event of, which will probably be like my caffeine shot of the evening when the fight happens. Second time around, Poirier versus Gaethje. Take a look at the odds here. So the formula is already kind of favoring Gaethje because he's +125. He's an underdog. Gaethje's always the underdog, with the exception of when he fought, what's his name, Oliveira, and he lost that fight. So when everything kind of matches the history of Justin Gaethje's success, usually since he was in the UFC, he's mostly been an underdog, and then he gets all these performance bonuses. I just feel like the second time around, and the fact that Poirier kind of admitted when matches were being spoken of for options for him that Gaethje's name came up, and he said that was the only fight that made him nervous. But I know he likes that too, you know. So obviously, I'm picking Justin Gaethje. So I don't know why I'm being long-winded about it. I'll let you say your pick.
I mean, it's almost impossible even to pick anybody. I mean,
I
have to pick Poirier based off of their first fight. Obviously you've got the Fedor thing going with Gaethje that I have, you know, like you're never going to pick against him. You know? I totally understand that. And you just can't get those words out of your mouth. I understand that. I just think Poirier is kind of the, I don't know, man. I It's just going to be a fun fight. I don't even really, I mean, I hate to even pick because it's just, I feel like it's going to come down to the guy you think is going to win the fight halfway through the second round is going to be the guy that's going to get knocked out. You know, like I feel like that there's going to be so many back and forth and so many, you know, exchanges where you're just not sure who's even taking the brunt of it because they're just beating the hell out of each other. I mean, realistically, that's where we're at with this fight. I don't think there's anything else to really expect. I don't know that neither of the guys are – there's no motivation to grind out a win in this fight. Mm-hmm. You know, they both already had their title shots. I know both of them want to get, you know, that run again. But I just – I feel like it's just going to be a rock'em sock'em robot, and, and there's going to be ups and downs. And, you know, three rounds, five rounds, I don't even think it matters. If this thing gets, if this goes into the third round this time, I'll be surprised. I think we're going to be seeing heavy leather swung. I think Gaethje, honestly, I think Gaethje either lands something hard and heavy early, or perhaps he kind of wears down again. I think that's kind of what Poirier's thing is. It's with Chandler. Yeah. A lot of guys, you know, he takes a little bit and then he just has that in him. He's got that dog that brings him over the top. And I know Gagey's got that too, but I've also seen kind of Gaethje have those wobbly eyes in some of his fights. And
he's his own worst enemy in fights. Like, you know, when you look at things that have happened to him, it's just that weird, that maniac, you know, when you think about being technical and listening to your corner versus going insane and throwing your whole skeleton at your opponent. You know what I mean? And I think that's the problem. But that's why people like watching him fight. And that's why he gets bonuses win or lose most of the time. I get why you're picking Poirier, because he is the more, if anyone's doing their homework and taking notes and, you know, stuff like that, it's definitely him. So if there's a cerebral aspect that gives anyone an edge, it's definitely for him. But, you know, it's funny because, like, I was talking again when I had the conversation last night with the guys I work out with. I was like, you know what the thing it is? I didn't realize it. The the way that I get about Justin Gaethje is the way that I used to get for boxing when Mexican boxers boxed, like just that insane, you know, tunnel vision fan base. And I'm like, I never understood it for Justin Gaethje. Maybe it's because I watch his career. I watch him rise up the World Series of Fighting and get to the title and then defend the title so many times, then leave with it and wind up in the UFC. I've always been a cheerleader of his. And then I've only found out, I forget, a couple of fights ago when he talked about how he's actually part Mexican. And I was like, oh, that must be it. Cause I literally can't not root for the guy. I can't not follow his career. I mean, when Brandon Moreno fights, the weird craziness that I get, same thing happens when Justin Gaethje fights. So that has to be it. But, it's going to be should be a fun pay-per-view.
I think there's a lot of good fights on that pay-per-view, and one that I'd recommend everybody watch.
And especially the prelims. Like, again, I mentioned the first fight should give you a gauge of how good this. Usually they don't bring, when the UFC goes on does this double broadcast with ABC and ESPN, they don't bring garbage either, because they know they're getting a lot of the casual eyeballs on them, so they want to make sure they keep those folks locked in. You know, they are a machine when it comes to marketing and all that stuff. So you can't sleep on what they're planning to do there. And then we have, for our boxing fans, we had Joseph Correa from Front Proof Media kind of helped us do a little preview on this. We've had Hector Franco on the podcast in the past, and he writes there, and he actually just published before we started recording. He just published an odds piece on fansided.com. I want to bring them up just because so we can give him some shine and kind of help us make a pick. But I keep hearing the words that Joseph told us when he was on the podcast, you know, mentioning the car accident with Spence and stuff like that, because I think initially I was going Spence until he reminded me of that. So Plus 120, Spence is the underdog, and Terrence Crawford is minus 150. And these are the odds on FanSided from DraftKings.com, of course. So, I don't know, man. I mean, again, Joseph's words were really, like I said, they stuck in my head since we had him on. And now looking at these odds, it just makes me agree with him more. You know, Errol Spence is probably, we don't know how that affected him. And I think that only favors Terrence Crawford. So I'm kind of siding with him there.
Yeah. I mean, the odds are honestly a little bit closer than I would have expected. 120 is not bad. So the betting public thinks that this is more of a coin flip fight than, probably some of the experts that seem to obviously be leaning towards Crawford in most of the stuff that I've seen on the fight. You know, I'm not going to pick Spence just to wild dog pick an underdog in this fight. I think Crawford probably does win the fight. I think a lot of everything that Joseph Correa mentioned about the accidents and how, but more just how Crawford is just a machine in there who registers his opponents, you know, over the first few rounds and then is manages to compute in his head basically a game plan on the fly to disassemble his opponents. I do think that when you have that strategy, however, though, you do open up yourself to giving away rounds early. We've seen it with some of the other fights. I think Lomachenko, some of those other guys who kind of do the same thing. It takes them four or five rounds to kind of dissect their opponents, and then you know they end up finishing their opponents a couple rounds later. But when you get into where you're fighting the second best guy on the planet, maybe that strategy doesn't work great. Maybe you give away three, four rounds early in the fight, and then you end up losing a, 116, 114 kind of, or 115, 114 kind of split, really close decision.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Crawford just off that. I mean, he's 39-0. Spence is 28-0. I mean, this is a fight that you don't get all that often. In any combat sports, we can listen to the propaganda that comes out of promoters, but very rarely do you get like pound for pound one versus pound for pound two, in a legitimate like super fight that people have been, craving for a couple of years now. So, I'll go with Crawford. I'm going to say by decision. I'm not going to say either one of these guys gets finished. I just can't disrespect a guy who's undefeated at this level and after that many fights. So I'll say Crawford wins a fairly competitive close fight, maybe 8-4, but in a 7-5, but a really competitive fight where, down the stretch, we're still interested in going into the, 9th, 10th, and championship rounds.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say as far as the result. I think I think if Crawford wins, it goes by decision. The thing with the matchup, like as far as, again, with Spence, like I remember when he was on the rise, I'd always pick him because I liked the way he planted his feet and just kind of swung away and came with a lot of firepower at his opponents. But I don't think he'll take that risk against a guy like Crawford, which is why I agree with you going to a decision for Crawford. Be nice if he wins, but it definitely get people talking on Monday morning. That's for sure. If he pulls off a wins, and not only wins, but wins convincingly by knockout or TKO or something. But it's going to be fun to watch. I would say if you're going to try and keep up with all of these, you'd be a smart person to watch it at home. Do not try to go watch these at a bar or whatever, because you're going to have those crowds mixing together and you probably get some real fights happening in front of you. So I would say if you can watch it at home, make sure you stay home and watch it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody needs to check their local time guides because obviously we mentioned the UFC is on ABC for prelims, and then they're the pay-per-view through ESPN Plus. The boxing pay-per-view, I'm not exactly sure what outlet that'll go through. You just want to check. Just Google that one, and then Showtime for the Bellator card.
Yeah, I believe Spence Crawford's a Showtime pay-per-view as well.
Is it Showtime? Yeah. So Showtime's got a busy night that night. It'll be interesting to see where the eyeballs go.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of places to be watching. I mean, I'm excited. A lot of action. Sunday or Saturday is going to be fun going into Sunday with the Bellator and Rising card. So, I think that pretty much gets us there. Why don't fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMAHawk21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Oldhead Carb on Twitch. And as mentioned earlier, weekly you can catch our podcast at allaccessmma.com. Check out allaccessmma.com for video podcast, MMA stories, and MMA news.
And also, just really quick, the Chris Lencioni's GoFundMe link is still in our description. Please, if you could help him out, drop him, throw him a few bucks, whatever you can. Anything helps with his recovery. So thanks again, folks. We'll see you maybe next week. If not next week, the week after.
Peace. We'll see you again sometime. Have a good night, everyone.